Before I get into the message today, and I promise you I will get into the message today, but I believe the Lord's doing some things here today that we need to know about. We just sang about His Word and how the Spirit speaks to us through His Word. Yesterday during our intercessory prayer time, God gave this word to someone for us and for a couple of people there, and I believe this is a word for some people here this morning, so I want to give this word to you from the Lord. And it says this: as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Speaking of the enemy. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep. At the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him to the help of my countenance and my God. I believe some people came in here this morning with their soul very downcast. Maybe some of you came in here in your life and where you are in your life thinking, where is God? Maybe you came in here looking for God. God's word is true and life and breath for us. And so His encouragement here is, no matter what your soul is feeling, your soul houses your mind, will, and your emotions. And no matter what those things are doing or saying or speaking or hearing, He says, hope in God. Hope in God. God is our hope. God is our provider. And God will lift your countenance. He'll lift your countenance. And so I believe that's a word for some people here this morning. Hope in God. Let Him lift your countenance from the depths of your soul, and your spirit will be lightened and lifted. I want to read a passage from Psalm. And, you know, those of you that know me know that we're not just not a normal church, and I'm not normal, okay?
Hello.
I know. I knew my wife. Amen. But I want to share some scripture with you, and I just believe the Lord is, I've been waiting for the Lord to release this, and I believe today is the day He's wanted to release this. And it says this: let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield your increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. You know, we were talking about this in Life Group this week. We're dealing with talking about the demonic and the dark side, and we're talking about how praising God, how important praise and worship is in this place. And somebody was talking about spirits that come in places. And I said, yeah, you know, the church, they come into the church. A spirit of oppression sometimes comes in. spirit of darkness or discord or discouragement, and we have to pray them out of here. But also what you don't understand is God's word is true. God inhabits the praises of his people, and those things cannot stand and stay in the presence of the praises of God. And that's why it's so important. Morgan, I want to cue that video, and I'll let you know when to hit it, please. Listen to this. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. You know, I like to, you know, sometimes we need to have some culture shock. And so, you know, we get culture shock every day with what we see in the world, right? So why not we have a little culture shock in church? For some of you, this won't be. For some of you, it may be. But I want us to stand together, and I want us to worship with this video one more time. And I want you to remember these words, how important it is to praise God and just to free the name of Jesus in this place. So let's stand together if you're able to. And Morgan?
hope. Come on. Say. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Amen. Please be seated. I think I can preach now. Now all of you know I'm not normal. But I don't want to be normal. The Christian life is not a normal life. The Christian life is an exciting life. I'm going to continue our series that I started last week on the Spirit-shaped life is the title of it. But what we're talking about is becoming a disciple, true disciples. That's what we're called to do when we're called to Christ. Not just get saved and sit. We're called to be disciples. Last week we discussed three steps in Scripture that are necessary for living a Spirit-led life. The first was to be Spirit-born. You must be born again, Jesus said. The second is to be Spirit-filled and continually being Spirit-shaped as you grow and mature in the Christian life. You know, I said last week, most people want just enough of Jesus to be comfortable. But that's not His design for our life. The first discipline of the Spirit-shaped life or the Spirit-formed life is hearing God's voice. We got to hear God's voice. We have to hear God's voice for direction, for what He wants for our life, for decisions that we make. And today, I'm going to talk about discipline number two. And it's the water baptism. Discipline number two is water baptism. I'm going to be talking about the power of baptism. The power of baptism. The Spirit-filled life is not some mystical fantasy of people living outside of reality. It's a process of a lifestyle of submission to the leadership and to the authority of the Holy Spirit. You see, the crucial mindset of a disciple, a real disciple, is that of staying shapeable, teachable, flexible under the Lord Jesus Christ and under His Lordship. But you need to understand there's a cost to that. There's a cost to that. There's a sacrifice that has to be made, sometimes big, sometimes small, sometimes in between. Foundational or fundamental to a Spirit-shaped life are the sacraments. The sacraments. And in the Protestant church, the terminology sacrament refers to a particular practice or ritual such as communion, the Lord's table, done as a declaration of trust in the power or the significance of that practice and the manifestation of faith that it produces as we do that. Now, the two most common sacraments in the Protestant church are water baptism and the Lord's table. And I know those of you that may have a Catholic background in Catholicism, there's six or seven different sacraments that they practice. But these are the two most foundational that most people and most theologians agree are foundational and biblically based and biblically foundational for our relationship journey with God. I want to lay out the significance today of the power of water baptism. You see, I believe in what I've experienced over the years, and for too long, we've taken water baptism too lightly. And it has, in many ways, in the church, just become a fad and not emphasized for the powerful event that it can be because of what it represents. As a result, many people just pass it off as just another religious practice that's man-made ritual. And that's not true. You see, becoming a disciple depends on us moving beyond the initial experience of salvation and going through the sacraments as just a religious practice. We got to move beyond that. A disciple moves to the point of living out the truth that the sacraments represent, living them out. I want you to turn to Mark, if you will, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Two verses here, 15 and 16. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, it's obviously important, based on this statement made by Jesus, but I want you to understand something. Baptism is not a prerequisite for salvation. Now, if you look at what he says here, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. He didn't say he who does not believe and get baptized. You see, a lot of churches and movements and segments take this scripture and one or two others and say, well, you're not really saved. You know, you profess Christ, but you're not really saved until you get baptized. I don't believe that's not true. That's not what this scripture is saying. And I'll give you one real easy example from the very, very beginning. When Jesus hung on the cross, there were two guys beside, one on each side, and one of them confessed him as Lord. And he said, today, you'll be in paradise with me. You'll go to heaven with me. Now, he didn't get off the cross, that thief, and go get baptized. And there are other scriptures. That's just one example. Baptism is not salvation. But baptism is a very powerful event in a believer's life that represents what took place at salvation, and even more than that. And we're going to see some things. It's more about obedience. Obedience to our Savior and Master. Amen. That's the biggest consideration here. And for any situation in our lives, everything else takes a backseat to Him. Some people ask, I've been asked, should I get baptized again? You know, I was baptized some time ago. Here's the thing. Some people are baptized as a child. We don't baptize children or infants here. Because baptism is something that you follow after you receive Christ and you've been born again. You have an authentic relationship with God. Well, as an infant, that's not possible. You can't even comprehend what that is. You know, children, we wait till their age of accountability. And that varies from child to child, depending on their maturity. But they have to know and understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ is. There are adults that have been baptized a second time. Sometimes you're saved and you get baptized, but over the years or for whatever reason or other, you wander, you backslide, you drift away from God. And you come back and you say, you know what, I just want to recommit my life to Christ. And I believe I need to be baptized again. And I respond to that this way. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I mean, if the Holy Spirit tells you to get baptized 10 times, my position is you ought to get baptized 10 times if the Holy Spirit's telling you that. He told the commander to go dip 7 times in the Jordan to get rid of leprosy. You know, and that didn't happen until he did it. See, it's about obedience. It's about being obedient to what God speaks to you. So what's the depth of meaning of this discipline of water baptism? How do we live more fully in the power of baptism? First, as I mentioned, it's about obedience. Obedience. Living a baptized life means I've submitted myself in obedience to the Lordship of Jesus. Not once, but as a lifetime commitment. It means my will becomes to do His will. My will is to do His will. Hey, will you stub your toe? Will you mess up? Sure. But you know what? That's why forgiveness is there. That's why grace, the grace of God is there. You get up and you go and you keep going. You repent, you ask for forgiveness, and you keep going. Obedience. The second thing here we need to see is dying to self. Dying to self. Romans 6. Look at Romans 6:3. Are you with me?
Yep.
Yes. Wore everybody out in that worship time. Well, Pastor Bill didn't get in until 4 a.m. this morning from a trip, so I needed to wake him up this morning, keep him awake. So, Romans 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Two things here. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. Okay? Not physically. He's not talking physically. Baptism represents us being buried spiritually. The old man, the old self, the old Leonard, the old Karen, being buried when we came to Christ. Dying to self. That's what after we go into the water, just like Christ was buried in the tomb, we're buried with him in the water. And our old self, our old spiritual life was buried. That's what he's saying here. It's about dying to self. And you know something? We have to do that every day, don't we? Because every day we get up, guess who gets up with us? Self wakes up first, doesn't he or she? And for some of you, it's real obvious who woke up, right? The old self, right? We have to die to self every day. But water baptism is representing going into the waters, being buried just like Christ was buried for our sins. Our old self is being buried. The word baptized means to immerse, and there's some other meanings we're going to look at. But baptism, here's what you need to know. And understand, it's a commitment to the Lord to die to self, to die to your old ways and your old habits. It's committing to bury the person that you were before you came to Jesus, under the waters, just as he was buried in the tomb. It's a commitment made in your soul where your mind, your will, and your emotions reside. That's where our decisions are made. And when you get baptized in water, you're saying, for the rest of my life, I will be dead to my past, former ways. That's the first part, being immersed under the water. But then there's the coming out of the water. Look there in Romans. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So here's what coming out of the water, when you go into the baptism waters, coming out represents that new life that comes from Christ and salvation in Christ. When you give your life to Christ and you're truly born again, boom, when you come out of the water, old is gone, the new has come. Do you get me? Okay. Two or three of you do. That's great. It's a start. You're saying that just as he rose from that physical death, you see, Jesus died a physical death, but he rose from that physical death by the power of the Holy Spirit. As a spirit, he raised and conquered death. And what you're saying is, I've risen from my spiritual death. Because you see, when we're born, we're all dead, right? Yeah. Wait a minute, Pastor, how can you be dead when you're born? You're dead spiritually. You're dead spiritually. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. I don't care how educated you are, how religious you are, how much scripture you know, how good you are. You got to be born again. And so when we come out of those waters, that represents that spiritual death. You're coming away from that spiritual death into a new life, life in the Spirit in Christ. I have risen from my spiritual death. The old self is gone. I have new life in Christ and the power of his Spirit. Boom, when you come out of the water, that's what that... You're being resurrected in your new life as he was resurrected from the dead. Romans 8:11 says this, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Listen, living in the baptized life is allowing the life spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God to resurrect you on a daily basis. Amen. How many know you need to get resurrected every day? I do. We all need, our spirit needs to get resurrected, lifted every day as you walk in that new life that he's given you. Okay, so it's obedience, it's dying to self, and another thing that, another power that is in baptism, in the sacrament of baptism, is a circumcised heart. circumcised heart. Colossians 2. Look at Colossians 2 over farther in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Here we go. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Okay, here's what I want us to see here. Circumcision was the Jewish ritual or practice of cutting away the foreskin from the organ. And he's saying here, just as circumcision was cutting away the flesh of the physical flesh in that Jewish practice, in baptism, through baptism, God wants to cut away the flesh. That is the carnality from our life. The carnality from our life. The carnality being things that are superficial to what he created us for. Things that are not of him. Well, what could that be? Well, I'll give you a few examples. Greed, lust, language, addictions, pornography, selfishness, unhealthy emotions, and on and on. You get the idea, right? Those are things of the flesh, the carnal flesh. In other words, they are excessive aspects of our behavior that God just wants to remove from our lives. Unnecessary things that are contrary to his purpose and his design for us. Listen, baptism is not a ritual performed. It's a dynamic to be experienced. And when you go under those waters, it's like a spiritual marker. You're making a commitment. You're recommitting just what you did when you got saved, when you were born again. When you go through that baptism waters, you're saying, take it all away. Take all these things away. Circumcise my heart. Get those things out of my heart. Let them be washed away too, in a spiritual sense, as I go through this experience. You see, we just look at baptism sometimes as, boom, we get wet and we're dunked. Yay, everybody claps, yay. Yay, God. No, there's more to it than that. God's Spirit works in that sacrament. It's a sacrament. Sacrament is where we get the word sacred. Baptism is sacred because of the power that's there. And there's one more powerful thing that baptism can illustrate and bring about, I believe. You see, I think we limit God in so many ways because of ignorance of his word that hinders or limits our faith. Let me say that again. I believe wholeheartedly that we limit our faith or we hinder our faith because of our ignorance of his word. And not knowing what it says and what it means. And that being said, there's another powerful potential of baptism. And it's this. It's deliverance. Deliverance. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Right at the beginning, verse 1. Still with me?
Yes.
Okay, y'all are quiet. I know that worship wears you out, doesn't it? But it's good, isn't it? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Bless you. In the name of Jesus. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Okay, here's what I want you to see. The word baptized here means identified with. He's saying they all were identified with Moses, and they passed through the waters. Now, they didn't get wet, did they? The waters parted, but they passed under the waters, okay, as they were what? What was happening there? They were being delivered. They were being delivered from the bondage of Egypt, who was about to recapture them and take them back into bondage. You see, when we're baptized in the water, we're identifying, just as they were identified, baptized and identified with Moses, when we go into baptism waters, we're identifying with Christ. We're identifying with Christ, with his burial and with his resurrection. And this illustration here illustrates Israel coming out of Egypt, which was the most powerful deliverance in the history of the world. And this is an indication of the blessing that God can impart to us through baptism. Yes, I believe baptism is intended to be a moment of deliverance for us all. Things that we've been enslaved to, shackled with, the snares that have entangled us, oppression, and other things. All these, just as the Israelites, oppressors, were washed away by the Red Sea, can be washed away into baptism waters. Listen, it can have a profound effect on you when you go through baptism, if you're looking at it and approaching it with the right heart and the right mind. It can be a moment of deliverance. A moment of deliverance. You see, water baptism is not just a church tradition. It's to be a spiritual marker in our life. It's to be a significant impact in our spiritual journey as we move beyond salvation and begin to grow and mature and move toward becoming a disciple, which is what we're called to do as Christians. Through baptism, I obey the Lordship of Christ. In it, I welcome his resurrection power of his Holy Spirit. You see, I bury my past. I cut away the flesh of my old heart so that my new life in Christ, new life can flow from Christ into me and through me. Yokes of bondage can be broken. Freedom comes in the life-giving power of Jesus. That's how we need to approach baptism. Matthew chapter 3. I want you to see this as we close. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And verse 16 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, when the Son of God submitted to be baptized, the heavens opened to him. The Spirit descended upon him. And the Father God spoke from heaven. And I believe these blessings await every believer who follows Jesus in baptism. See, I believe a spiritual marker is established in a believer's life that serves as a springboard to another level of faith in the Spirit-shaped life. And so, baptism is important. Worship team, would you come up? Let's go into a time of prayer, if you would, please. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes and focus on Jesus. I want you to picture him in your mind being baptized and coming up out of those waters and the Spirit of God descending on him. You see, Jesus' command to everyone who receives his gift of salvation is that they be baptized in water. It's not merely observing a duty. is to experience a dynamic. Obedience to this sets you on a path of submission to the Lordship of Jesus. It's a commitment to become a true disciple, a commitment to be dead to sin and alive to God and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I want to ask you, as you've heard this message and these words, and these scriptures today, what is God speaking to your heart? What is the Holy Spirit showing you for your life? You know, we need to ask ourselves those questions every time we hear God's word. So this morning, right here, right now, what is He showing you in your life? Have you overlooked or discounted baptism, the significance of it? Are you sensing a need to be baptized this morning? And then the question that everyone needs to come to grips with, have you been baptized since you were truly born again? Since the time that you really, sincerely gave your life to Christ and became a Christian? Maybe not as a teenager when you thought you did, or you prayed a prayer, but your life never changed. That's not salvation. Praying a prayer doesn't change your life. Only receiving the Spirit of God into your life and His transforming power changes your life. And when that happens, you cannot not know it. So the question is, have you been baptized since you truly believed? What is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart this morning? Hear His voice this morning. Let His Spirit speak to your spirit. Maybe you need prayer this morning. If you need prayer this morning, there's prayer partners about the auditorium on the sides and the back, up here in the front. They'll be here if you need prayer. Just come quickly and let us pray with you. You know, that's part of becoming a disciple, is being willing to admit you need prayer and be willing to step out in faith and have people pray with you and over you. So if you need prayer this morning, we're here to pray. Don't waste this time. Don't let it pass. Don't let the enemy say, oh no, don't do that. You're okay. Just let God touch your heart. Let Him move in your life through prayer. Maybe you're here today and you don't really have a relationship with Christ. You've never really given your life to God. But you know in your heart the Holy Spirit is tugging on you. And you know in your heart that I need God. I need a Savior. I need to know Jesus as my Savior. If that's you this morning, as everyone in here is praying, would you just slip up your hand so I can just pray for you? I know I need to have a relationship with God this morning. Just raise your hand real quick, and I just want to pray with you. I know I need a relationship with God. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I saw your hand. I saw your hands. Those of you that raised your hand, just pray this prayer with your heart. And maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to. You can pray this prayer too, but the prayer doesn't do anything for you. It's only your faith believing that if you ask God to forgive you, He will. So just pray with me. God, I need to be saved. I know Jesus died for my sins. I believe He was raised from the dead to forgive my sins. I give my life to Him this morning. I give him my heart. I give him everything that's within me right now, right here. And I trust him with my life. By faith, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and I receive his forgiveness. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I'll have the power to walk with him. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer with your heart and by faith, based on God's word, I believe you've just become a Christian. And so I want you to embrace that. But I also want you to know this. When you leave here, the enemy, maybe before you leave here, the enemy is going to whisper to you and say, nothing happened. Let me tell you how the Bible describes the enemy. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. So you do not believe that. If you put your faith in Christ this morning, the Holy Spirit seals your salvation. And you speak the name of Jesus when you hear any doubt that I am a son or a daughter of the living God because of what Jesus did for me. And my faith is with him. And the enemy will leave you. I want to encourage you to do that. Walk in faith. Maybe you made a decision this morning about baptism. Take those connection points out of the bulletin. There's a place to check some of those things on the back. You gave your life to Christ. Please check that. All I want to do is send you some information. Maybe you realize you need to be baptized or you have more questions about it. Put it on the back. There's a place for prayer request. Whatever decision you made this morning. If you're watching by internet and you made a decision this morning, go to our website, send us an email so we can pray with you and encourage you and answer any questions you have. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you in these words. Everybody look up here. God loves you, and he cares about your life more than you'll ever know. He loves you, and he cares about your life. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter how you're hurting, no matter how high you are or how low you are, he loves you. He loves you, and he just wants you to know that, and he wants you to receive that. He wants you to let him love you in all areas of your life, not just here on Sunday, but when you go back out there in the fight, when you get up every morning and start life again, just be reminded that he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to have a relationship with you. Ushers, if you'll come. Ushers. Ushers. All the ushers. We'll crank that video up again and get them moving. Okay, Heart Cry family and friends, it's tithes and offering time.